C1P Chapter 12 Christian Science Practice The Structure of the Christian Science Textbook Our Way of Life Number 1A
We begin today with the 12th chapter, the Christian Science Practice. You have for the layout of the chapter, the illustrative material that we have sent to you, so that we can follow the epitomes of that paper. The very first thing that perhaps we have to ask ourselves, now, what is the place value of this chapter? Why is it the 12th chapter? And what does that 12th chapter imply when we consider it within the matrix of the Christian Science textbook? It is at the point of Christianity in its aspect of science, Christianity reflecting science. And we have seen that Christianity from the absolute standpoint is showing us the realm of ideas. That goes through all the four chapters of Christianity, starting with creation, then science of being, some objections answered, Christian Science practice. They all have that one common denominator, that we have to deal with a universe of ideas. Here, we have to see that this universe of ideas is considered from the standpoint of science, and science from the relative standpoint of Christian Science means what? Means scientific understanding. So that the point of intersection would show that we should understand the realm of ideas in a scientific way, and that if we understand really the realm of ideas as science, that this is true health. Therefore, it is Christian Science practice. Whenever we have a sense that we can understand the truth about the situation, the true facts about the situation, that means that we are healthy or whole. So we can see that we came from the 11th chapter, Some Objections Answered, which showed that pure reflection is demonstration, and showed that there are a lot of objections within ourselves that stand in the way for pure reflection, and so the chapter had to analyze these objections and we had to overcome them. And now that the whole consciousness is at the point of pure reflection, we can see that this is now the basis for the 12th chapter that we can use in with scientific understanding the realm of ideas, and that understanding means demonstration or health. So practice, therefore, would mean that we would have to understand the ideas of God, the ideas of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, and understanding them in a scientific way, we would entertain a consciousness that is whole, and therefore healing. What is the great layout of this chapter? And you have on page 2 of the illustrative material overall view of the layout of the chapter. And I think it is perhaps easier to understand the whole chapter if we first have a quick overall view over the whole chapter before we start with the details. You can see that the chapter can be divided up in four parts. Part 1, Part 2, Part 3, Part 4. What are these parts? Again, you could turn to page 10, which gives the summary of the chapter 12, page 10. And there again, you can see that there are four columns symbolizing those four parts. And if we start from the top, we can see that primary, actually we have to see that those four parts can be seen first in two big categories, namely the standpoint of the practitioner, you have there at the top, and then next to it, the standpoint of the patient. The break between the practitioner and the patient, which is indicated with two lines, vertical lines, is actually there where Mrs. Eddy has the subtitle Mental Treatment Illustrate. That what is before that break of Mental Treatment Illustrated is mainly considering the part that the practitioner plays in the treatment. Then the part of the patient, Mental Treatment Illustrated, will give us a sense how the patient reacts on the practitioner's treatment. We can see that every treatment is therefore a relationship between the practitioner and the patient, and we must somehow see what is the scientific mechanism that is in action between the consciousness of the practitioner and its impact on the patient. Now, if you look at this chart on page 10 further, we can see that the proposition of the practitioner is shown in three parts, those three vertical columns. The part one is love and mind, which you have on the top. Love and mind. Meaning what? Meaning really how the practitioner must be himself, what consciousness the practitioner himself must have in order to be a practitioner, and that attitude can be defined through love and mind, namely through that consciousness of love, the attitude of love, which has in its mind, in love's mind, what? That love's mind only can see perfection. And so you have love's mind, love's contemplation of itself, love's consciousness of itself is always seeing perfection. So love's mind, love and mind, is showing us that the practitioner must always go out from that point of only seeing perfection, love and mind, only contemplating perfection, love and mind. Then, when Mrs. Eddy has shown that part one, from the point of view of love and mind, depicting how the practitioner must be himself, then she goes to a second part and depicts what the practitioner has to know. So to say, what does the practitioner know in his treatment? That is truth and mind. He has to know, mind, the truth. And if he knows the truth shall make you free. It is a healing truth. So truth and mind is knowing the truth, or truth knowing, and showing that that truth is the medicine of mind, that that truth heals. So whenever we want to know what is that which the practitioner contemplates in his treatment, what is the truth he has to know, we will find here in this second part explanation of the truth that he can know, going all through the seven synonymous terms. But that is not enough, that the practitioner knows the truth. He also has to have a scientific method in his treatment. And that method is shown in the third part, life and soul. Namely, here we have his method that says the method of that practitioner is that when he has given his treatment and has known the truth, that he can stay with that reality of being, life, in an unshakable way, love. That he must see that being that he has been contemplated, that that being, life, is untouched by anything opposite to being. So that he must have that wonderful inner attitude that he is not going to let himself be robbed, counterfeit of soul, of what is life. Can you see the third part will always show us that that what he sees in his treatment in the second part is a fact in being, life, and that being is unchangeable, soul. That being is untouched by anything, soul. That nothing can destroy or deface being, life, and soul. So we will consider then in the third part this attitude of life and soul through the seven synonymous terms. And then comes the part four, mental treatment illustrated, illustrating how now that treatment that the practitioner has given, how that reacts on the case, what is the impact on the patient and on the case. And so it is symbolizing the healing process, the healing process. What is fundamentally at work is that that what the practitioner has seen in part 1, 2, and 3 is reflected in the case, that it has its reflection, its response, its echo, call it echo or echo in the patient, that he responds to it, and therefore reflects it. That's always at the point of spirit reflection. So that fourth part shows now, again, love, which was the main tone of the part one, truth, which was the main tone of part two, and life, which was the main point of part three, that love, truth, life is at the point of spirit reflected in the patient and reflects itself in the patient. And that only in this way can we understand why it is possible that the treatment that the practitioner gives has its reflection and its response in the patient. So that the last column has that great overall tone of love, life, truth, all three in at the point of spirit, at the point of reflection. Mrs. Edinacci shows that healing process through the seven synonymous terms, through mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love again, and in this way ends that whole chapter. So can you see, when you look at that page 10, at the whole structure, you can see that Mrs. Eddy will present here the fundamentals of treatment, the principle of a Christian Science treatment, and it is actually this principle that we should learn. This brings me at once to another point, namely, if we can see that Mrs. Eddy really gives us in these four parts the principle of practice, then it will mean more or less to us that she is only interested to give us the principle of Christian Science treatment, what the textbook always should give, a principle, and that she is not giving here a lot of recipes how to handle individual cases. The student would like somehow to always find somewhere in the textbook a definite, specific answer for a specific case. And this is just what Mrs. Eddy does not want to show, because she could see that there are some thousand different diseases with which we have to deal with, alone in the medical side, in the medical branch. I think medicine today has classified all the diseases they know into about 3,000 different diseases. Well, Christian Science practice is not only concerned with physical disease, but also with all kinds of other discords of relationship, discords in the human, in the psychological field, in the moral field, in the governmental field, in the financial field, in the economic field, well, in every branch of life. So that in order to give us a recipe how to deal with every kind of discord that the practitioner will have to deal with, she would have to give a whole encyclopedia, and even then this would not be right, because she can see that we have today a science, and therefore a principle, and therefore if we understand that principle and can work with the capitalized terms, can give treatment from the standpoint of the seven synonymous terms, and not from the basis of metaphysics, where we consider every case as a metaphysical proposition, that if she would show us this terrific fundamental principle of healing, that then the practitioner actually would have to be free, and can be free, of asking, how do I treat now this specific case? I never had such a case. It's quite a new case. I never had to deal with this and that disease and with this and that discord. And therefore, Mrs. Eddy wants to give us that very, very fundamental principle that underlies every treatment. You see, this is what has always puzzled quite a lot of practitioners or students, that they would have liked to have a textbook which would really look like a recipe book, like a cooking recipe book, where you just can have at the back of the book a register and say, now, if I want to cook this and that and the other, well, this can be found on page 223, and then you turn up to that page and then you find how you cook that very thing. They would have liked to have also such a book, such a recipe book. And I think the Kratzer Kimball book is such a recipe book, and which has been used, and is still being used by many practitioners, though naturally they have to hide that Kratzer book under the mattresses and take it up when they have to give treatments. There, in that Trotzer Kimball book, there they have such recipes. And you remember how Mrs. Kimball, when she read that book, just went into tears to see what has been made out of Kimball's teaching. But that is when they analyze the mentality of the student, something that is still quite widespread, that one would like to say, well, if I have this and that kind of disease, now I go through the pages of the practice chapter and see where Mrs. Eddy says something about this disease. Well, she doesn't. Actually, if you take those 80 pages on Christian Science Practice and read them through and ask yourself, where does she say something specific about a specific disease, you will hardly find anything. There are just here and there is some hint to palsy, consumption, fever, cold, climate, accident, insanity. And even then, when she mentions these few things, and you see the examples that she has taken, they're mostly out of the field of consumption and of cold or hot climate. That's practically all. Lost memory a little bit and insanity. And even then, when she mentions these things, she gives hardly any hint how we should handle or treat such a claim. So all kind of other disease that have to do with the human body are not even mentioned in the book, and certainly we don't find an indication if you have a case of heart disease or lung disease or kidney disease or a gall disease or whatever you call them. I'm not even very good in knowing the terms of what is within our skin, all the various organs and so on that can go wrong. We certainly find no indication whatsoever in that book. And this should really wake us up to the importance of the chapter and the way she deals with practice. That she can see it doesn't matter two hoots what kind of disease the patient has, because she knows as very fundamental that every case is mental, that every disease is a mental case. It has to do with mentality. Therefore, she can reduce all discord, be it in the realm of sickness, be it in the realm of other discords, discords of relationship, government, finance, supply, economy, sociology, and so on, that they all have to do with a false mental attitude. And therefore, there is one common denominator, that's mortal mind. Therefore, what she has to deal with is with mortal mind, and has to show us that the only answer for mortal mind is the divine mind. It's the divine mind. Therefore, all cases that we have to deal with will have to deal with mortal mind, and the answer to it is divine mind. And therefore, she will have to explain to us what the divine mind is, when mind is also spirit, when mind is also soul, when mind is also principle, when mind is also life, truth, and love, so that within the practitioner's mind we establish just the very facts of the seven synonymous term, therefore the facts of God, and what more do we want than to see the facts of being, the facts of God. They are the facts about which any discord is a lie. So that we suddenly begin to see that we should not be interested in finding out some recipe for every kind of disease and for every case, but that practice, therefore, is to practice our consciousness being one in the understanding of God. That's practice. To practice within us that we have that unity, that oneness with mind and with spirit and with soul and principle, life, truth and love, and consider that from the highest standpoint of science. Then we are practicing being, then we are practicing the principle, and principle, as is then shown in that last part four, has its own impact on every case. So, if we see these four parts clearly, we can see that we have to know the seven synonymous terms. We have to know God through the seven synonymous terms, that without really knowing the seven synonymous terms properly, really deeply, in their shadings, that we are actually not working in science. That everything else, every treatment which we give, that is not based on the seven synonymous term, and is not the full sense of seven synonymous term, is not Christian science practice. Everything else is metaphysical practice. And you know how Mrs. Eddy distinguishes between metaphysics and really science. She shows that most works on metaphysics leave one grand point untouched. Namely, they never crown the divine mind as the Messiah. So that all metaphysical practice, trying to correct any situation with any old ideas that come into your mind, is not scientific practice, it's metaphysical practice, and very soon will dilute and will very soon be in so-called benevolent malpractice. Very soon. So, let's see that we are actually working out from the seven synonymous terms. And this is what Mrs. Eddy, as far as we can see today, is showing in that chapter on Christian Science practice. So that we perhaps run through quickly again the whole mentality that is shown in those four parts if we go out from the seven synonymous terms.